Praise God. Hallelujah. Whoo. Well, I want to say good evening, hello, and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Whoo. I tell you what, I want you to know that there was a group of us guys set apart just a couple weeks ago, believing God. For just him to just come in a greater way. And I wanted to know that we've been experiencing things and God has been so wonderful. But during that time, I wrote down something, and I know this is kind of corny because it kind of fits into how we say stuff today. But I put hashtag just getting started. And I'm telling you that every time I pray, I was in here earlier just praying and walking through this sanctuary for just a season and a few moments, and the Lord said, Philip, I want you to speak that to these people. I don't care how long you've been in. I don't care how good God has been to you up till now. The Lord assures me that you are just getting started with him. And I tell you what, press in, reach towards him, open up your heart, put walls down if you have to. Pick yourself up and wipe yourself off. You know, I was praying earlier and I saw someone wiping themselves off. And I thought, man, I remember how many times I fell trying to learn how to ride my bike, or even after I learned how to ride my bike, trying to jump stuff and hallelujah, all kinds of stuff. But I never put my bike down. And even though my bike got me to the store faster and got me a little chocolate milk quicker, my bike could never do for me what the Lord would do. So I don't care if you've been bumped around. I mean, I do care if you've been bumped around a little bit, because I don't want anybody to be hurt ever. But I'm just telling you, even if you've got bumped around a little bit, get up, pick it up, and let's get back with Jesus. Amen? Hey, God bless you.
Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy and all my days.
Yes, I will
when you're not. Well, yes, I will for all my days. Yes, I will.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. Sing that tonight. You're never gonna let me down.
Hallelujah. How many in here think he is enough? Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He deserves it all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, how many of you in here enjoyed our seek and find? Amen. Is God not faithful? Is God not faithful? We think we'll do that again.
Amen.
We think we'll do that again. We'll get some dates with the worship team, see if they work, and then we'll come in. I did.
I know. I did dig it out.
And we'll do that again. God is so faithful. He showed up every night. We heard testimony after testimony after testimony of what God was doing. And I'm telling you, for one of those testimonies, I'd do it all again.
Amen.
For one person to get what they got, I'd do it all again. But God is so faithful that it was more than one. I know I was touched.
Amen.
Amen. God
is
just faithful.
I got tons of feedback of how faithful God is. And I want some of you to know that the Lord was just telling me that when he sets a time, he does it because his love for you. He does it because he wants to meet with you. And sometimes I'm telling you that we need to really be aware of God. You know, we're aware of everything else. But I'm telling you, sometimes we need to not just be aware of him, but we need to set times aside and step out of our comfort zone and step out of seasons. You know, I can remember when I had to call my mother and I said, Mom, I love you, but if you keep making family plans on Sunday, we're not going to be a part of it.
Right, we truly do.
And Regina will tell you, I'm a spoiled seventh baby. I'm
baby.
The surprise baby
the
of my mother.
Baby.
I mean, to the day,
I know y'all can tell.
The day she went home to be with the Lord, she said, my baby, Philip, woo, praise God. But I will tell you that I loved my mother enough that even for her benefit, I needed God more than I needed her good cooking. Even for my mom's benefit. And sometimes it would hurt me to break my mother's heart because she could twist your arm with her little words.
David, you can't take one day of your biscuits to come see your mama.
And, you know, later on, I would be driving up to pray for my mother when she went through her battles. And God said to me, if you hadn't given your mother up in the beginning of this, Philip, you wouldn't be able to save her now. See, we forget that I don't want to preach to you guys, but this is way off book, but I just want to put this out here. Then I'm going to drop back and I'll come back into what we're going to do for the rest of the evening. But I really need to say this to you. I can remember driving to pray for my mother and the Lord said, Philip, if you hadn't given her up and made the transition from religion to relationship, you would not have the faith required to help her get through what she's been through. Because in my mom's life, she had congestive heart failure, totally healed. She had diabetes, totally healed. She didn't have to get shot in her arms anymore. My mom was supposed to die years ago, and just God just sustained her. And I'm not saying that that's only on my faith. I'm just telling you what God told me. He said, Philip, if you had not given your mom up in the old carnal way and put me first, you wouldn't have faith to pray for her. You wouldn't have done the fasting and the stuff it took, and you would not be armed with what I have for you to fight in these realms. And I got to tell you something, people. Why am I putting this out here now, babe? This is your fault. You guys came to seek and find. You guys are in pursuit of God. You're with me wanting reviving, refreshing like we do. And you want to see people live and not die. And you want to see people healed and set free. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to have to make some decisions that just knowing a few scriptures and knowing we're going to heaven isn't good enough. We're going to talk about some of the requirements required, especially on Thursday's night. Thursday's going to be boot camp again. When I first came here, the Lord said, you need boot camp. And I'm telling you, we're going to boot camp. We're going to be talking about fasting, praying. We're going to be talking about the Holy Ghost. You know, people were stirring me up, telling me, well, I've had dreams and all this stuff. And I thought, wow, we're going to have to dig into what it takes to maintain those things. So we're going to get ready to go on some journeys. And I got to tell you something. The Lord told me that me and my wife would have never made it if once we got saved, nothing trumped church and God. Nothing. I'll tell you, I don't know that we ever missed a revival, a church meeting, anything. We just didn't do it. It just wasn't even on our radar.
You know, I just heard, I've been hearing inside of me, dry places can't revive dry places. Did you get that?
She said,
if there's a dry place, you ain't going to another dry place to get something to take back to your garden that's dry and taking anything worth anything back to it. Amen? And when we say we want revival and we want to see people saved, if you're dry, you ain't taking nothing out to anybody and nobody's getting changed. Nobody's moving. Nobody's feeling the presence of God if you're dry. And Pastor used to say something years ago when, well, he still says it today, but he when I remember when I was just a baby Christian and I would hear him say this, he would say, you all want, I need to go and pray and read like I do. And I understand we all need to do that, but he had a pattern of how he did it. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't understand. You want me to go in there because who I am in the natural is put under by who I am in the spiritual when I go in and I seek my Father and I pray. So you need me to be who God called me to be, not who I was back then. Mm-hmm. And I've understood that more and more and more throughout the years. The spirit is strong, but then the flesh is weak.
Amen.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how do you drown out that weak flesh that doesn't want to do anything? You have to water it. You have to spend time in the Word. You have to put it under and do things. There's a guy, and I this is going to teach. There was a guy, his name's Craig Howard, used to be a worship leader in the main house. And he said to me something, I just laughed at first because I was yet still a babe. I thought I was so mature too. It was so funny. But that's a different story for a different day. But he would say, you know what? I hate to do dishes. Brother, I'm with you. He said, but I go do dishes all the time because I put my flesh under. Mm-hmm. I don't let my flesh take control of anything in my life. So if I don't like to do something, I will force myself to go do that thing, to put my flesh under.
Amen.
And it all goes back to dry places. Don't, you can't raise dry places. It can't do anything for dry places. If we're dry and Jesus isn't in us and we haven't spent time in the Word, we haven't spent time in His presence, we haven't been fasting, we haven't doing all those things, who are we touching? We can't even maintain ourselves. When you're getting nasty, when you're getting complaining, when people are just looking at you like, what is your problem? It's a dry place. You haven't been where you're supposed to be. When you're complaining about things all the time on a constant basis, listen, let's look in mirrors here. Because why are we coming out to seek and find? Why are we coming out on a Thursday night when we could be at home doing anything else? This is the radical group right here. Anybody that comes out during the week is the radical group that's ready to hear whatever God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Why are you doing it? Because you're hungry for Him. There is a deep need inside of you for more of Him. You're tired of the way things are going, or you just want more. You can't just get it by coming to church. You just can't get it by coming to a couple seek and finds. This is a lifestyle that you have to do all the time. Because once the river of the living God starts flowing in your life, mm-hmm. you're no longer a dry place.
Amen.
You're no longer that person that can't touch another dry place. Mm-hmm. Philip, I see you struggling. What's going on? What's going on? I owed him that for something. It's my son, for those of you who don't know. What's going on? Can I pray for you? Because I see that you have need. Now, he doesn't. He's not dry. But I'm just saying, there's something in me to give to him. Amen? We're not doing this stuff for nothing. We're not doing this stuff just to do this stuff or just to have another service to come to. Everybody's life up here and there is busy. And there were sacrifices that were made for the seek and finds to come here. Those 3 nights, there were sacrifices made so that people can get closer to God. And it's not a game. And I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I don't know why it's so strong in me. But it's not a game. This is your life and this is eternity.
Amen.
Eternity's coming to every single one of us. And I know younger people, you think you're invincible.
Mm.
I still kind of think I'm invincible.
Amen.
I'm not so much younger.
Hallelujah.
And that the truth of the matter is, it's appointed man wants to die. Mm-hmm. And eternity is going to come smack you in the face. And judgment day's coming for every single one of us. And I don't want anybody that I've encountered to not get a sin before the Lord and say, enter in, mm-hmm. thou good and faithful servant.
Praise God.
I don't want them to hear anything else. I don't want them to be drugged into hell. Mm-hmm. This is serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is very serious stuff. And it's time for us to start understanding the seriousness of what you hold on the inside of you.
Amen.
You have Jesus.
Amen.
Living in you.
Praise God. Amen.
What greater thing? The world needs it. We got it. Let's not be a dry place, but let's be a filled up place.
Amen.
So that when we run across somebody dry, listen, we've been in roadside rest areas before traveling. And we got out one day and Phil jumps out. You know how crazy he can get.
What did you got? Did you hear Bob?
I can't jump down on the floor because my knees. But I would love to really jump like he did out of that car. But
you
I can't
want me
do it.
To do it for you,
yes, do it. There's a witch around here somewhere, Regina. I feel her. I need to go find her. And all of a sudden, this woman looks up at him and goes,
"You!"
and runs from him. Listen.
And here she was,
yes.
long black hair, black
yes.
nails. She ran into the bathroom. I said, "Hey, I need to talk to you." And she ran in there and would not come out. I said, "Ma'am, please, if you could come out here, I need to talk to you." She never did come.
Could you imagine? Those were in our not so smart days, but he knew he had to get to her, but she refused him.
Woo.
Yes, we went to a hotel once. Angel was with us, and it was us, and we were in the elevator, and it was a Muslim convention. We didn't know this. Phil's brother worked at the hotel. He knows what we are, who we are. I even think I wore Christ for the Nation shirt, my blue one. What does it say? United in Christ. Not that I would have changed it knowing what was going on in there, but we're like walking in there and people are giving us the evil eye and we're like,
What's going on?
His brother says, "Oh yeah, the Muslim convention's in town and here today."
I'm just praying in tongues. Jesus is Lord. I'm just
Be the light. Be the light. Amen?
Woo.
Amen. And we did have a few of them that said hi to us and was like nice, but some of them just ran.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Woo. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to tell some of my old stories. Woo.
Don't go nowhere with Angel Dyer. Just don't do it.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Whew.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. This got to stop.
Amen.
The laughter.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's so funny because one of my scriptures I wrote down tonight is righteousness, peace, and joy. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, you're supposed to have fun in the kingdom of God, and you can have crazy time. I'm telling you, you can see all kinds of stuff. Amen. And God wants you to experience Him. You know, and you don't have to be as crazy as me, but I'm telling you, you have got to move into places where you can see God pouring out what He has in your life. And God will reward you with moments that are just extraordinary. And, you know, if you really knew where He bought me and Regina from, you wouldn't believe us sometimes. I just know you wouldn't believe. Just like me being the loudmouth guy I am today, you wouldn't believe that I literally almost failed speech class because, and you guys know how much I like food. Amen, amen, amen. Honey, it used to be frustrating because I didn't even like to talk at the restaurants, did I? I'd get nervous ordering meals because everybody thought my voice was a little light. Now, I don't know why they
He wouldn't
my
like
voice
it because
light.
They'd say, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Philip, if you laugh too much more, you're going to be in trouble. But yeah, they'd say, yes, ma'am. And I know you can't tell now, but when I was younger, I had a little muscle on these arms. So that I'd pull up to the thing, and the people who waited on me wouldn't even come to the window. Oh my, one time I saw a girl say, oh no, I called him a ma'am. I can't go over there.
But this is just a testimony of who God has made us to be and brought us from. Like, we didn't always, we were always joking and stuff, but I'm telling you, I don't know if Jason's got something going back there in that room and causing us to do it too, but
amen, praise God.
We had a love-hate relationship at one point.
What?
There'd be times where he would love me and I would hate him and want out.
What?
This is before Jesus. And then there was a time where I would love him and he would hate me and he would want out.
What?
And we would fight and argue all the time. Well, I did hit you when we first got together. I came out of an abusive relationship. We got in this big old tussle and we wrestled. And he yelled at me and I just thought, here it comes. So I'm getting him first and I just, bam, and I hit him first.
You threw something at me first, didn't you? Then you ran over and cut, bam.
That was probably for distraction.
Yeah. So and I said, whoa, this is not how this works.
See, y'all don't know what God can do.
Amen.
Y'all have no idea. And we went from two people who really couldn't stand each other half the time. One of us couldn't stand the other. Every single day, one of us hated the other, almost.
I can't even remember those days.
I can. Whew, get flashbacks every once in a while. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, we got together, had Philip before we were married.
This
was before Jesus. This is how low we were. He's a backslidden Christian. I never knew Jesus, so this is all his fault, as far as I'm concerned, because he knew better. I'm just a sinner going around doing what sinners do.
Amen.
But as soon as we got saved.
Can I say one thing? When the Lord started changing my heart and I started getting more sensitive, I tried to tell her she needed God. And she'd say, you? Of all people, you're going to tell me I need God. Woo! Didn't work, but go ahead and finish.
That's the truth. Listen, I was the kind of person that if you stared at my man coming down the road and I saw you and we stopped at a stoplight, I was trying to jump out of the car. And I was going to come pound you in your seat. You can ask Phil how many times he's held me in the car not to jump out. I'm not proud of this stuff. Trust me, I am not proud of this. But I'm telling you, I would never think of that today.
Amen.
I would never even consider doing anything like that today. Why? Because God changed me, because I'm not a dry place.
Amen.
I'm filled.
Amen.
I got the river flowing in me. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
God.
You guys, I think that sometimes when people come in and they see where we're at now, after 20-some years of God working on
Hallelujah.
Us.
Hallelujah.
Literally working on us. God took vacations just from us. He's like, those walkers, I don't sleep or I don't slumber, but I need to go take a vacation from these two.
Amen.
And so if you had a bad day somewhere between the last 20, 30 years, and you didn't think God was listening, it's because he's on vacation because we wore him out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we needed a lot of work, and we needed a lot of change, and we're still changing today. But this is the testimony of where God has brought us from. Amen?
Yeah.
We've lived in houses without electricity, without water.
Amen.
We've struggled with food.
Hey, do you remember the one time that we had finally got through some stuff and we had a little money? But the bad thing was every time I went on vacation, I always had a motive to go to a city, or at least through a city, that had a big church in it that I wanted to visit. And so this one time we were going to Florida, but we had to go to Atlanta, and there's a big church there that I wanted to visit. And Miss Regina was giving me the directions.
I'm staying here because I want to tell the story right.
Well, she was giving me the directions, and I thought that she was trying to give me wrong directions because she really didn't want to go to church there. So I was mad, and I'm telling her, you gave me wrong directions on purpose. She said, honey, I did not. So before we knew it, we were like 4 hours away.
Out of Atlanta, Georgia.
And we were, that's it, not, you don't want to go, we're just not going to go. I just put my foot in that gas and just drove, and we were about 4 hours away of what happened.
I said, honey, I'm sorry, we need to, I said, I know you don't believe it because you think I'm meaner than him, but it's not truth. I act like it for TV. No, I'm just kidding. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for yelling at you. I didn't give you wrong directions. As you can tell, I gave you right directions. Let's just turn around and go back. Yes, I'm sorry, too. I was trying to do your high voice, but I couldn't mimic it.
You leave my voice in it.
But we ended up turning around, going back. God blessed us.
We had a tremendous time.
And we had a great time. But this is years after being saved, people. This is years after being saved. Mm-hmm. We get so caught up on our mistakes that we forget that we have a God whose mercies are new every morning.
Amen. Praise God.
That his grace is sufficient for everything. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that when we mess up, we don't sin on purpose and we don't live a sin-filled life.
Amen.
But when we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen.
Absolutely.
And that's what we did. We went to our advocate. We repented.
Yep.
Because of Phil's bad attitude.
Yeah.
Okay, I might have joined him after he started yelling at me, but... But God is good. God is faithful. And what we just want you to understand, it's not always been this way.
Amen.
We've not always been this way.
And we have had many more trips where we didn't fight at all and where we enjoyed navigating together. And even before we had maps, we'd give ourselves an ETA time and try to get there. You know, but every now and then, you know, hallelujah. Okay, well, we're going to let the children go to children's church. Praise God. Oh, man. Whew. Pastor Jared, you doing all right? Feeling strong? Looking good, man. You're looking good. I didn't know if you guys recouped from that vacation Bible school or not. We were doing a little outreach the other day, and we were walking through the city just giving people bottles of water because it was hot. And all of a sudden, we got to the park, which was going to be our last place to give out. And this beautiful little girl comes over to me, and she says, hey, she says, do you go to Only Believe Ministries, or do you go to Only Believe Church? I said, yes, I do. She said, so do I. I said, amen. And she stood there and told me what a great time she had at Vacation Bible School. Amen. So I just want you to know that God is extremely good, and I'm supposed to take up an offering, so I forgot to do that. Hallelujah. I was just going to get right into preaching, but I better do this because I don't want to take away something that belongs to you. And one thing that I've always been thankful for in this church is that, you know, this isn't the first time I forgot to take up the offering. Hallelujah, right? But what's amazing is that people are patient, people are kind. They don't usually say anything. But I will get to the end of the message and think I'm done and I'm ready to pray for you and let you go and get ready to go home. And people start giving me the envelope sign. People start raising the envelope. And I love that because what that means is that you have an understanding of what a critical part of you releasing something in the arena of faith is a part of what brings the blessing of God into our life. Amen? And I want to remind you that our God in heaven is constantly trying to get us to move out of the natural realm into the supernatural realm by doing things his way. I don't always do this, but tonight I want you to say this with me. Not my way,
his way.
Amen. Yes. I want you to just understand that God needs you to respect him, love him, and value him enough. I mean, he is the creator of the universe. He is the Alpha and Omega. That means that he doesn't have a beginning or an end. That means that before the world was ever even thought of, he was here. And that means that when the earth was first ever in existence, he was here and his word spoke to it. And so if he created the world and he created us, then why would any person in their right mind, and you do not truly have a right mind until you have a saved mind. You don't even have the ability to have a right mind until you have a saved mind. Until you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't have the ability to have a right mind. So definitely anybody in their right mind, why would you be in the kingdom of God, saved as a child of God, and use your own wisdom instead of going to him and getting instruction on how to do something? But it says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm only going to read this verse because before that it says that we need to sow bountifully, not sparingly. Before that it says God loves a cheerful giver, and we talk about those things. But I want you to see what it says here. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, the Lord was asking me, he said, Philip, why aren't you praying not just to have enough to meet your needs, not just to have enough to give you some of the wants you get? He said, but why aren't you praying that you would like to have enough from me that when something good comes along, you can give something to that good thing? And I'm only just trying to challenge you and expand your mind, because sometimes we go so far with God and we get in our comfort zone. And it's not because we're not thankful with what he's done, but over time, we start putting the cap back on. We start putting the limit on who God can be in our life. And I'm just telling you that from now to the end of the year, we're going to be fighting ourselves to not be people that just accept what we have, to not be people that just take it by ear. Listen, I'm very thankful for everything God does, but I tell you what, I like some explosive moments that when they happen, we all have to give up our intellect, we have to give up our own wisdom, and we have to say, wow, that's a miracle. That's God. You know, this one time I was praying, and I'm going to give you your chance to bring your offering up, and I was praying and believing God for something, and it was too big for me to be thinking of. And the Lord just told me to go to my mailbox, and I said, okay, God, I will, but I really am trying to get an answer for you on this, and he said, just go to your mailbox. And I said, God, I'm talking to you about this. I don't need to go to my mailbox. It's probably just bills, and it's probably just something. I'll get it later. He said, go to your mailbox. And I walked out and opened up my mailbox, and there was five $100 bills in there. Now, that has not happened again. I'm going to start wondering why. I mean, it's not every day I'm thinking I'm going to go out there and get five $100 bills in my mailbox, but why not? So I'm just going to be challenging you every service I can from now to the end of this year, and you already know what's going to happen after that. I'm going to challenge you again next year. Hallelujah. But I just want to start really wondering, do we ever get out of the box? Do we ever get out of our comfort zone? Do we ever really challenge ourselves? Do we believe God to be a supernatural God, or do we just want to have a good song service every now and then, live through life and not really be different than anybody else and have no testimonies of the extraordinary? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just pray that you just break our boundaries down, God. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, God. And Father, I just pray that for every one of us, whether it's health, whether it's finances, God, whether it's relationship, God, God, whether it's just being healed and strengthened emotionally, God, whether it's believing, God, for what your purpose is in our life, Father, Lord, whatever it is, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that tonight we would just be ignited to just believe you and to believe you for bigger, better, more. Father, I thank you that you even say in your word, I stand at the door and knock because I desire that you would ask me. I desire that you would let me be a part of your life. And Father, I just thank you, God, that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, you said that I shall not want because of who you are. And God, I just thank you that you're pouring your goodness out on all of us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your offerings to the Lord. Praise God. Okay, I got to tell you something that I really had to move my message around a little bit tonight. And I want you to know that it's not because I'm not prepared. It's not because I don't come in here with something that I believe that the Lord has given me. It's just that sometimes you guys cause my message to be changed. Because I'm not here just to preach something I want to preach. I don't get to just, which I would never do this anyway, but I don't get to go out on sermon.com. I don't get to have somebody just give me something that I follow every week and just preach a little printed out thing and just get to do that. That's not God. Did you hear me? Now listen, when I come in here, I have to be prepared from time spent with the Lord to release something that's going to touch your life. And so I want you to know that tonight, even before worship service, even before church started, man, I got everything taken care of. Pastor Regina and I have been here in the office since about 10 o'clock this morning, 10:30, something like that. And we did have to leave for a little bit to take care of some things. But we just been sitting in here, and I'm just been, like, just ready. So someone's faith is stirring. And there's some things I'm going to tell you tonight. And I got to tell you, I was already going to challenge you to press into the supernatural. So not everything in my message is changed, but there are some very specific things that are going to be released to you tonight because somebody's faith in this house is pulling on this. And so the first thing I have to get established with you is I know that we know that God loves us. Amen. Do you know that God loves you? I said, do you know that God loves you? Woo, praise God. But there's just something that the Lord wants me to establish in here, because I tell you what, now, I won't say this guy's a taskmaster, praise God. I won't say that. But I got the opportunity to spend time with someone who deals with cows this week. And the first thing that the Lord started speaking to me about is how the Bible says that our God in heaven owns cattle on 1,000 hills. The whole earth is his. And he says, and the people. Now I said, God, I said, why would you mention the cattle and the earth being yours and then step us outside and say, and the people? I said, because you got all kinds of crazy creation on the earth. I said, you got giraffes, you got gorillas, you got, you know, wildebeest, you got all kinds of crazy stuff that you could have mentioned. And he said, Philip, all I wanted to do was make a reference between the earth and creation. And the thing that is significantly different than all other creation is my people. He said, I could substitute a cow, I could substitute a hog, I could substitute any old thing in there. He said, but I was making that scripture reference so that each one of you would know the most treasured and precious thing I have on this earth are those who are made in my image. And the only part of creation that has the right, the authority, or the ability become children of God. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I loved all the animals I've ever seen. Amen. Some of them I've gotten to eat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Shane, when we grew up, oftentimes you had to feed that what you were going to eat, brother. Amen. It was a little bit sad. I was a little bit sad when Petunia, when Petunia the pig, when her day comes and goes, oh, it would hurt me just a little bit. But as soon as my mother started frying those big, thick pork chops, oh, my goodness, I would celebrate Petunia in a whole other way. Amen. But my whole point in telling you that is that God was showing me, Philip, the earth is great. Earth is great. The cows, everything I created is great. But what I need you to focus on is the thing I specifically set apart was my people, you, my children. And I want you to just understand that God wants you to know how unique you are and how much he cares for you. Because again, sometimes in scripture, God is trying to really expand his love view for us. And again, I want to read this to you because this is where the Lord told me to start. Just so I could tell you, remember how Brother Chris D'Amico, if you were here for him, he just kept saying, man, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Man, God loves you. And so I really want you to hear what this scripture says. It's Matthew chapter 10. It's verse 29, and it says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And some of you ought to do a word search and figure out how much value a farthing is. But it ain't much. Might be equivalent to a couple pennies. Or a few dollars in today's terms. Now listen to this. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing or just pennies? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without our Father. Listen, I got to tell you something, and I felt bad about it, but my wife can tell you, I've probably hit more birds in the last week or two than I have in all the time I've been driving. True? And I want you to know that when I was hitting these birds, I kept saying, ooh, and Rashid said, what? You know, I said, honey, I just hit a bird. But also, I got to tell you something, this scripture was pounding down on me. I said, ooh. Every time I hit one of these birds, God knows about it. And I said, Lord, I'm not hurting them. I don't mean it, God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do whatever I can. I'm not trying to hit these birds on purpose. And again, the Lord said, Philip, if I will record that which some people would kill because they think it's a nuisance, he said, if I place so much value on it that with everything I got going on, I know the time you killed the sparrow and the little yellow bird. I killed a little yellow bird, Shane. That one kind of bothered me. It was cute. I mean, pop. I mean, it just flew out of pop. And I killed God's creation. And it was terrible, and I didn't like it. But what was so profound is the Lord said, Philip, I'm aware of that bird. How much more so? I mean, if God records the bird, understand this, if he's even aware of that bird when it goes down, and what's so powerful is God has never stopped providing for those birds ever. It doesn't matter how much the earth has grown. It doesn't matter how much it big. It doesn't matter if we build cities. It doesn't matter if we put cement down. It just doesn't matter. You can look it up. Some birds' populations have just grown bigger than they've ever been. And I want you to know something, that it just doesn't matter, because the love of God is big enough that he's going to provide. I mean, we were walking around the church today talking about stuff we have to clean up, and there are signs of birds. I mean, there are signs of birds, amen? And you know, sometimes it's not always good signs that you want to see, but there are signs of birds. But I want you to know something. That's a sign of God's faithfulness. Think about that. God knows when that irritating little bird that keeps trying to build nests on your house and you're trying to shoo them away, man, God knows how you're treating them birds. Might adjust some of us a little bit. But I really want you to see this. Okay, so not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. I got to tell you something. The Lord just showed me this. That some of you have worry and stress on you because you're trying to handle God's business. Oh, my goodness. If he has numbered every hair on your head, look, I don't got as many as I used to, but I still got too many hairs for me to count. And God could tell me if it was number one or pre-adventure if I had 1,000. He could tell me if it was 948 that fell out of my head. I have no clue. Now, I found times when hair fell out of my head and I didn't like it, but I couldn't tell you if it was number 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, or what. But God could tell you what the number of that hair is. And I think some reason why God takes such good care of us is because we forget that one day, when you leave your body, you know, when you leave your body, the Lord says that you are immediately with God. So that means that if I were to go tomorrow, and I'm not, my spirit would leave this body in a New York second. It would be to God, and you guys would put my physical body in the ground. Well, one day, that physical body, to some degree, is going to make a restoration with my spirit, man. This isn't in the Bible, but one time the Lord told me, Philip, even the people that have fallen into the sea, he says, he said, I could tell you, even if something good, not good happened to them, even if their flesh was ate, I could tell you when, where, what date, by what. We have no fathom of what God is able to do. And I'm only telling you this because if God cares about a sparrow, and a sparrow can never be born again, how much more does God care about you? Amen. Don't let the devil spend one more minute trying to tell you what you did wrong, who you are, why you're being punished right now. I don't care if you made a stupid decision 20 years ago. I don't care if you made the stupidest decision 10 minutes ago. I don't care if you've ever been on crack. I don't care if you've ever been an alcoholic. I don't care if you've ever had 15 people you slept with. I don't care if you slept with them all at once. I don't care what has been your background. There's just no more need for you to waste time thinking that, well, this is going wrong because God doesn't love me, or this is going wrong because I made mistakes, or this is going wrong because this is always going to be in my life, and this is going wrong because of this. Just stop! God doesn't let a sparrow fall. He loves you so much that he died for you. And his blood is so pure that it washes your sins so far away that God can't even record them and remember them. He chooses not to. He says that I'll wipe your sins as far as the east is from the west. You know, Shane, one time I was just whining about my past. This probably happened, God, because I did this or I did that. And I tell you what, my prayers weren't going no farther than my forehead, and that ain't very high off the ground. I heard you say yes. Stop it. But anyhow, I mean, you know how sometimes you pray and we say, man, I felt like my prayers were hitting a brick wall. And man, I said, oh no, I must not be repentant enough. I'm going to go on a fast. And buddy, I was fasting, and thank God it was on day three. But on day three, the Lord said, Philip, you're talking to me about something I don't know about. I said, no, God, that. He said, you're talking to me about something I don't know and I can't see. Because it was covered into the blood. It was so redeemed that God makes the choice, and he has a right to. He's God, you know. He can do what he wants when he wants. And I thank God that he says, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I'll have grace on who I have grace. And I'll tell you what, sometimes we're trying to put stuff to God and live this old pitiful, sorrowful life, and woe is me, I did this. And we're wondering why he don't talk to you about it anymore, because it's not there, it's not relevant. Pick up your life, write your dreams back down, and start running your race. You act like you're outside of something that you're not outside of. You act like there's still a penalty to be paid for something that Jesus already lifted for you. Next week, we're going to look at the Bible that says, for your shame, I'll give you double. And for the years that the locust has stolen, I'll restore unto you. I'll redeem time. Well, I should have probably did that when I was 40. Shut up and do it when you're 80. I should have probably did that. If I had just got saved sooner, if I had just this, I had just this, you know, I could be like so and so. If I had got saved when I was 7 or 14, my goodness, why don't you just get saved now, live for God, and do more than so and so did? Well, is that biblical? Tell me. Was Paul one of the first apostles or the last? Was Paul in the church or outside of the church? Was Paul a lover of mankind and treating everybody good? Or was he a killer of Christians? You know, brother, if you're carrying some guilt, let it go, because up till now, I'm pretty sure that you ain't went into churches and just drug Christians out and stoned them, have you? You ain't killed no Christians lately? Because you're mad at them for even believing in Jesus? Okay, well, then I think you got a pretty fair chance of not having anything held against you. Because Paul the Apostle, the killer of Christians, said, I have no blood on my hands, and I've wronged no man. Woo-hoo-hoo! Why? Because he understood. God wiped his old man away. Saul's dead. Paul's living. And all he's done now that he's alive and who he was supposed to be is serve God and do right for people. Man, I wish you could get away from your yesterday enough to love and believe God for a future. You know, I was reading this week and I was talking about how the Lord says that he would rather have obedience than false sacrifice. And we always think that that means, well, I got to stay out of sin. And you do. But sometimes you're giving God these false sacrifices that he would rather you quit wasting your time on and get your faith out so you and him could move on and get something done in the kingdom. Woo, praise God. Well, I thought I'd get a few more claps in this. I'll give myself one. Hallelujah, praise God. Pastor Phil, that's good words, brother. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Boy, now you guys know how blessed that woman really is. Amen. If I'm this wild out here with you guys, can you imagine how wild I am at home? Praise God. I have something that a friend taught me this week that I'm going to try with you, And I haven't got a chance to try it with you yet, babe, but I'm looking forward to it. Amen. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 says this, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. And if you don't know this story, the Lord is talking about Abraham, who used to call himself Abram, because even in his older years, he was yet without a child. But God had made him a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And at one point, he even let his wife Sarai, they came up with their own plan like we often do. And he let him, her husband Abram, have a child with another lady. And they thought God would use that situation, but that was their way, not God's way. But later on, God restores Abraham in his dream. And he gets full of faith and says, that's it. I'm not going to call her Sarai the barren anymore. And I'm not going to call myself Abram the fatherless anymore. He says, I'm going to change my name and call myself Abraham the father of many nations. And he went out and told his wife, you're no longer Sarai. You are Sarah, the princess of many nations. And she even laughed at him at one point. Because I'm telling you, what did he do? I don't know if he went on and put his wedding suit on from 75 years ago. And I don't know what it was, but somehow he reclaimed his youth. And even though physically he did not have the ability, he believed God that God would restore to him what it took to be who he was supposed to be. And so this is what this scripture is about, because it says, in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now listen to this. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What things have you given up on? That you just speak, well, that's probably never going to happen. I hope so. Well, maybe, possibly. There are just a time for us to start writing down what we believe and what we believe God for. And I don't care if it's in your health. I don't care if it's in your relationships. I don't care if it's in your identity. I don't care if it's building your future. I don't care if it's finding out what your vocation is. I don't care what it is. It's time for you to start saying, God, I thank you for this and this. I'm believing for this and this. And